here's a story from The World.
The true costs of climate change are coming into starker view. Across the developing world, the price tag to adapt to a changing climate could reach $300 billion a year by 2030. That's according to the UN. At the climate summit in Egypt right now, this topic has been a big focus. As it stands, wealthier countries are contributing only a small fraction of what's needed. The World's environment correspondent Carolyn Beeler reports on what developing countries are asking for and how that money could be used in the Pakistani coastal city of Karachi.
This spring, an oppressive early heat wave settled over Karachi. Temperatures topped 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or 38 Celsius, for several days at a time. But here, at an urban forest in a residential area not far from the sea, Shazad Qureshi says it was much cooler.
The temperature difference was easily from about 8 to 10 degrees centigrade, obviously because of trees.
Qureshi created this forest in response to a deadly heat wave in 2015. It's a classic climate adaptation project. It's helping to cool an overheated city and absorb monsoon rains as they get more intense.
I think it's a matter of life and death for us.
The forest is 3 densely planted acres.
Good. Can you show me around now?
Let's do that.
Paths cut through thickets of trees and bushes, past a playground and a vegetable garden alive with pollinators.
Can you see the life buzzing around this whole place? This you don't see anywhere.
Qureshi has by now established 20 small, dense forests around Karachi. He thought that he'd landed on a model to help cool the city that could be scaled up.
This is going to be a great respite. We're going to change the microclimate of Karachi. We found magic beans that are going to grow that forest all around.
Problem is, nobody wants to buy those magic beans. He shopped the idea of greatly expanding these forests to the government and private citizens, but hasn't gotten much traction.
The only thing actually stopping us is money. That's it.
Only about a third of all climate finance in 2020 was dedicated to adaptation. Chiara Falduto tracks the issue at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. She says one reason why is because adaptation projects usually don't make money for investors. But green energy projects, for example, like a new solar power plant, can.
Then the solar power plants will produce electricity, which will be sold, and therefore will generate a direct return for the investor.
At the COP27 summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, many developing countries are pushing for wealthy nations to double adaptation finance. In Karachi, that money is needed to protect against a host of vulnerabilities. Farhan Enwar is an urban planner and academic here.
Karachi is vulnerable when we think about all the possible 4 scenarios that you relate with climate change: flooding, drought, extreme heat, and sea level rise.
Parts of Karachi already flood annually with the monsoon rains. Anwar met me at a wide stormwater drainage ditch in the city to explain why. Karachi doesn't have a real sewage system, he says, so sewage flows here.
Then, since we also don't have a very good solid waste management system, waste gets dumped here on a regular basis.
With sewage and trash clogging these ditches, they overflow when heavy rains come. And informal settlements built upstream on its banks flood. Enwar says this single example raises a host of climate adaptation needs.
Unless we have an efficient sewage system, it will again be flooded with sewage water. If we don't have a proper solid waste management system, people will continue to dump their garbage here. If we don't have affordable housing schemes for the urban poor, they will continue to have these, you know, settlements built in along these areas.
Anwar says better governance will be essential to Karachi adapting to climate change. But it'll also take money. That's the case for the entire country. The World Bank estimates it'll cost $152 billion by decade's end for Pakistan to adapt to climate change. At COP27, Pakistan is calling for debt relief to help. It's just one of many vulnerable countries pushing for major changes. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley is pushing an initiative that would provide hundreds of billions in grants and low-interest loans for developing nations.
In the G7 countries, the average borrowing rates are between 1 and 4%. In most of the global south, the average borrowing rates are now between 12 and 14%. So you begin to see the disparity.
Motley argues these rates get global south countries stuck in a cycle of debt after they borrow money to recover from climate-fueled disasters.
Suffice it to say that the system is broken And what we need to ensure is a more level playing field for the cost of capital, because it is the cost of capital that will crowd out our ability to finance other aspects of our development,
including investing in climate adaptation. Back at his urban forest in Karachi, Shahzad Qureshi says if someone handed him $160 million today, he thinks he could cover a quarter of the city in forests within 5 years. But there's lots of competition for that kind of money.
People want to donate to a hospital, then food, education. And then this comes in probably 9th or 10th of the whole series of it. And, you know, my pitch is this. Listen, if you will not have a place to, a livable place, rest of the things will automatically fail.
So he's still hunting for cash, hoping to preserve the city for his kids. For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler, Karachi, Pakistan.